Tell me a little bit more about these little tiny computers you were talking about and the abilities for this to work. What did you call it, quantum computers?
Quantum computers, that's right. Basically, they rely on the fact that at the quantum level, you can have more than two states. Today, you know, all computers are built out of binary states, zeros and ones.
Right.
And that at the quantum level, you can actually have a phenomenon, which I won't try to explain in any detail, called superposition, and that allows computers to exist zero, one, and both at the same time. That's a weirdness. And also that they can be entangled, as we talked about. That is, that they can communicate at a distance. These two properties enable us to do something which is quite distinct. In a regular computer, every bit adds up one after the other. And just simply, as we add new memory capabilities, new transistors, you add in a linear fashion the power of the computer. In a quantum computer, first of all, we're dealing with individual atoms, and you add with the exponent of the number of atoms. So if it's 2 to the trillionth power, is a huge kind of computational increase. That's the kind of power increase we're getting at dealing with quantum computers.
Now, with that kind of power increase, what are you talking about in terms of, let's say, speed, first of all? Just instantaneously, almost.
Almost, literally billions of times faster. But what it really means is the ability to do very, very complicated problems. Let me give you three examples.
All right.
One is we would like to be able to understand how proteins fold. And folding protein molecules are very complex. This is an extremely hard problem because there are almost an infinite number of variations. Understanding that would give us vastly better drugs, for example. So modeling protein folding. We talked about the movie Minority Report.
Yes.
In the movie, we show cars being controlled by computers in very complex computer-controlled highways. Imagine the 50 million cars that are on the American road today, all controlled by computers. Very hard, very complicated problem.
But that's, you know what? Maybe better drivers, the computer.
Almost certainly. Yeah. Almost certainly. And then finally, now the really hard one, artificial intelligence. This is the kind of computer that may finally get to a truly intelligent.
Well, now, with this artificial intelligence, will it ever get to the point where, and it's going so fast in terms of speed, that it will anticipate your question and give you the answer before you even ask the question?
Perhaps. But I think what is more interesting is that they will get so smart that the question is, will it even be interested in giving us answers to our questions?
It might say, I'm busy.
Exactly. You know, I've got better questions to deal with.
What have we created then, if that's what happens?
Well, you know, I think there is quite a substantial risk that in the next 30 to 50 years, we will create computers that will be smarter than we are and that will be, frankly, less and less interested in our concerns and interests.
They'll be more concerned in what they want to do.
Right. Now, frankly, I don't think that is particularly dangerous, but we will be creating, in effect, a new intelligent species on the planet, one built mostly out of silicon.
Isn't it possible that if you can build robotic computers that move around like man with tremendous intelligence, that they at least one day may be able to build resources and create their own kind and do whatever they want to do?
Oh, not only do I think that it's plausible, I think it's inevitable. I think that certainly will happen. Now, I don't think that these robotic intelligences will necessarily look like human beings. This won't be C-3PO of Star Wars. They will have their own form factor, their own purposes, their own ways of moving and so on, and interacting with the world. So they're unlikely to look like human beings.
May they meet with each other in some electronic way and say, let's get the humans tomorrow? I mean, can it be a sinister thing?
Of course, anything is possible. I think it unlikely. I think the more likely scenario is that they build their own successors and leave to go explore the universe.
That's remarkable.
Yes.
That is remarkable. Do you believe in life out there?
Yes, I do. The only question is it nearby in space and time? I think the universe is so large that I think it's inevitable there's other life out there.
Maybe millions of other lives out there.
Almost certainly. However, you know, the universe is also very big and very old. And so the likelihood that reasonably intelligent life that is close enough to us in development, not so far ahead that they're not interested,
mm-hmm.
not so far behind they can't communicate, that that is close enough to us in space and time is unlikely but possible.
It's possible that with a 14 billion year old universe, us being 4.5 billion, let's say that there was a 10 billion year civilization that probably by now has died out, I would guess.
That's the fundamental question. Now, we may discover, and to our good fortune, that there are literally thousands of civilizations out there and just waiting for us to arrive. That's also plausible. I do think that it is highly likely that there is life and intelligent life.
Better, less than us, probably both.
Yes, probably both. And the question is, will we meet up with them? I'd love for it to happen, but I think that is one of the less likely scenarios just because of the vastness of space.
Well, but you're thinking of it in terms of what we know today.
Right.
Think of it in terms of that 95% we don't know.
I think you're exactly right. And who knows? It may turn out that, for example, traveling faster than the speed of light, which we today think of as impossible, may not be impossible 100, 200, 1,000 years from now, and which is a small time in the, sweep of the universe.
Mm-hmm.
And if we can do it, others can do it.
We may be able to bend space-time, where we instantaneously go any place we want.
And in fact, that's the more likely situation than, say, building a rocket engine that allows us to go faster than the speed of light.
Mm-hmm. I think so, too. There's something there that physics will allow us to do that we just haven't found yet.
I think that's exactly right. I think, by the way, that's also true of energy. Today our vision of the future of energy is bounded by today's physics. I think when we're talking about energy 50 to 100 years from now, we'll be talking about something we have not yet even imagined.
Does scientific evolution go in a chronological step, or does it take skips over what one would say would be a nice pace of chronology?
It isn't smooth and even. It goes in fits and starts. It goes in bursts. Because some big new discovery or some major new instrument, the telescope, the microscope, the computer comes along, and suddenly you get these enormous bursts of progress.
Where you jump over what normally would have taken, let's say, 50 years of progression, you can jump right over all that.
Exactly. I mean, look what's happened today as a result of the Internet and scientific communication. It used to be that if you had an experiment, you'd send it off to Physics Review, and they'd send it out to other scientists for peer review, and then they would publish it, and that would take 6 months to a year, and then other scientists would read it by mail, and they would do the experiment and then send in their results and confirm the earlier experiment. Today, you do the experiment in the morning, you post it on the web by noon, somebody's testing it by the afternoon, and it's confirmed or denied by that evening.
Oh, I remember preparing for talk shows years ago, Peter, and I'd go into the studio with newspaper clippings and notes and all this. And now you can sit down at a computer, compose your thoughts, do your research, print up what you need, and go into a studio with a nice, clean packet of information that's laid out for you. You know the direction you're going to go. And you don't have to worry about anything. And it's just remarkable at how technology has changed every facet of every individual's life in one way or another.